morning, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Gather round. Witness the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit the fan. What is it?
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Great morning to you. And welcome all to another Blog Talk Radio for A to Zaius Positive Male Response radio show. I am Callie Payton, and I'm here with the program's chair here, Mr. Gary. Go ahead and speak to the people.
Good morning, people. I hope everyone is doing good today, having a blessed day. Remember, stay prayed up, stay blessed up.
All right. We definitely count it a blessing to have an opportunity to be able to speak. I'm very grateful and thankful to Ms. Delzora Barnett for the awesome connection as a friend, as a mentor. You know, I call her Ma. like she is to everybody, to those that meet her, a humble heart, a great fire inside of her, and thank you for your passion and for your love and for your investment in the community that you've always been able to pour out, and especially on behalf of my family personally. So for us to have an opportunity to be able to connect in this way, where you give me an opportunity to connect with your organization and also be a part of the movement of the positive male response. It's such a blessing, and I don't take it lightly in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and just grateful and humble to have an opportunity to be able to address such a thing. I definitely know that this show is something that I believe is ordained by the Creator, because for the types of things that's going on in the country right now, to be chosen to be a part of this opportunity is absolutely positively amazing. And we got a lot to cover. We got a lot to talk about, and I'm ready to do it. And so is Mr. Gary here. And I know we're going to have callers in. I know we got a lot of people, got a lot to say. And we're going to make sure that we get an opportunity to address all of those things. But I want to definitely start off with this. This show is an opportunity for action. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration. You have every right to be. I feel those same emotions. Same emotions. Okay? I had an opportunity yesterday. I shook the hand. I actually posted this on social media. I walked into a place where my daughter was getting ready to practice volleyball, and I looked into the eyes of a black man who I've never met before. The brother had a long beard, dreadlocks down his back, and normally I would kind of speak kind of a what's up and keep it moving, but yesterday was different. I reached my hand out and shook his hand, and we embraced, and I said, hello, brother, and he smiled. He said, hello, my brother, and he looked back. He said, hey, man. It's crazy out here. Be careful. And I looked at him, and I said the same thing. I said, brother, you be careful as well. And it made me emotional as I walked away from the brother, because I realized that right now, with the way the world is and the things that's happening, we don't know what's going to happen to each other. And yesterday, to look in the eyes of a black man who I don't know if I'm going to read about on the news, just the fact that that even crossed my mind hurts my heart. However, I had a chance to look in his eyes, and I didn't see, I'll be honest with you, I didn't see what I normally see. I didn't see, a brother who is, down and out, downtrodden or anything. I didn't see a brother that was disadvantaged or any rest of the stuff. I looked at that brother, and I saw royalty in his eyes. I saw kingship in his eyes. I saw love in his eyes. I saw my own reflection in his eyes, man. And for the first time in my life, 34 years, I looked in the eyes of another man who I did not know, and I saw my reflection, and I loved what I saw. I love my people, man. Yes, I love all people, but specifically, I love the reflection looking back at a black man at me, knowing that his thoughts might share some of the same things that I think, and we have some of the same fears, some of the same enemies, some of the same things, and it just humbled me. And I've been thinking about it, to be honest with you. I've been thinking about it all night. I didn't sleep much last night. I paced in preparation for this, and I paced with the thought of all the things that's going on in the world on what do I say to my people? What do I say to you? What do I say through the hurt? What do I say through the pain, through the frustration? And even as I thought of that, again, I am blessed to be a part of the Justice for Zayas organization, A to Zayas. And even though this is new pain for a lot of folks this week, this organization has had this pain for a very long time. I know historically folks have had this pain for, you know, throughout history, but specifically, I'm in the presence of family members who witnessed these types of tragedies that now shed light for people to look at on YouTube and Facebook and things of that nature. And on a personal level, I hate, you know, what happened. I hate that we watch over and over and over again, you know, deaths on social media. But it has to be some type of awareness. And I want to take this opportunity to give this this brother that's next to me, his name is Gary. And Gary, this organization is named after our awesome brother, Mr. Zayas Barnett. And I've been blessed to be able to know this brother's love and to experience the greatness of this brother. But I want to allow opportunity not to, and Gary, I want you to hear me good, bro, not to dig into any pain, right? But at the same time, it's like you need to understand this new pain that you guys are experiencing, this new thing that you sit down trying to explain to your parents, trying to explain to your kids, and was talked about at work and things like that. It's some people that's been hurting a long time. And I want to hear from Gary right now. So, brother, bless the people with your voice, my brother.
So yeah, most people know 3 years ago, my brother was murdered in Atlanta by two Atlanta Police Department cops. We were downtown celebrating my birthday. One thing led to another, and they came down and, I mean, just unloaded. And it's funny, 'cause like I never forgot, never forget. I mean, even since the Trayvon Martin thing and different little things happening in Fayetteville to people I know. Like, this is nothing new to me. I'm growing up in the meat of it. You know what I mean? I just turned 26. But it's what's surprising is I feel like personally, what if we didn't get this stuff on video? What if that store owner didn't come out the store and get the real up-close video of this man not reaching for his gun? Or what if the young lady never live streamed? Would people still believe it? You know what I mean? Because for some of us, they only believe what they see. And it's like, do y'all realize this has been going on forever? Like, this has been going on forever. But see, now we have our own transparency. We can show, no, this is what really happened. Because they're going to go lie. They're going to go cover their tracks. They're going to yell out gun when they see cameras. That's what they're doing. They know people. They've sat down in their meetings and talked, hey, these people have phones now and they can upload stuff instantly, so you need to protect yourself. You need to say the right things, the right protocol. So that's why you hear them scream, oh, gun, gun, when the person never grabbed the gun. You had the gun the whole time. So I just say people wake up, man, because it's going to slow down. You know, the police, I know I seen the news last night, the Fayetteville police are open for dialogue now. I guess it took cops getting killed for them to realize that you, too, cannot make it home to your family. If you keep pushing the very people you are paid to protect, How can you protect something that you're scared of, for one? That's something that I really want them to think about. How can you protect something you're scared of? But they're trying to have open dialogue now, and I'm definitely going to reach out just to see what they have to say. But don't let this blow over. Don't let us be, you know, out here marching for 2 weeks. And I seen Atlanta went crazy. They had millions.
Right.
But don't let this, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, everything's quiet and we go back to, you know, buying these shoes and buying and just, you know, tunnel vision, because like it's not going to stop unless we make it stop. And looking at these events, you know, I have to relive it automatically. As soon as I hear somebody get killed by the police, like I've seen it with my own eyes. You know what I mean? And what's funny is around the time that Zayas actually got shot up in Atlanta, it was a white guy who had a gun who was shooting it out with the police. They didn't shoot him as many times as he shot my brother. My brother's gun never even discharged. I mean, I got video. He was putting the gun down, and they shot him up. But you have another guy, I guess because he's another race. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's not about race. It's been about race. This whole country is built off of race. When they came here, they took people from Africa, and they made them work. They were at the lower end of society. They were nothing. They were sleeping with the dogs, sleeping with the horses. You know what I mean? So it's built off of race. No, we're not racist. We just love our black people. So if that's racist, then hey, I'm not saying I hate you. I just love my people, and we don't want to see people getting killed and their bodies sitting there for hours. How anybody who can say, oh, these people are crazy, he had a gun, blah blah blah, put yourself in those people's shoes. If two men over 200 pounds are putting their knee in your back, are you going to sit there? Can you really? I'm 185 pounds. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sitting there. Get off of me. Why are you putting your knee, both of y'all knees in my back? That can collapse my lungs. But nobody thinks about that. They think, oh, he's a person. You don't know what this person went through. This person could have anxiety. Half the time, they say, oh, black people this and that. Man, black people scared of cops. We've been running from cops. You know what I mean? Because it all comes from a bad place, from these people getting this badge and they feel like they're superior now, or they're not checking their stuff at the door. I'm training for a new job, and the main thing that the guy who's training me keeps telling me, when you come to work, Gary, make sure you check everything that's outside in the outside world at that door so you can come in here and perform with a clear mind. These folks aren't doing that. They're approaching people already pissed off. What are you pissed off for? You should approach the next. You went through one situation, you locked the guy up, he ran, blah, blah, you mad, boom. Once you got him, it's over. Move on to the next person. Approach that person with respect. I don't want people living in fear. I'm not. Somebody asked me, are you fearful, are you scared? And it's like, man, I seen my brother get shot up. I got friends who dead right now who ain't even make it to 15 and 16. Scared? I'm not scared. If anything, I'm scared for my cousins, for the people I love. For me, I'm not scared. I don't walk with fear. I walk with respect. I got pulled over. I'm driving from Colorado with my brother back to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I got pulled over by the police. And a lot of people would have freaked out. I don't freak out. You know, I say a quick prayer. They pull up behind me. I was going 77 in the 70. He ain't having nothing else to do. He told me it's the best job in the world. He gets to just do stuff like this all day. And literally, I mean, he came to my car. He said, got my license. I'm not tripping. I know I'm clean. I know Reggie's clean. So we just sitting there. He got my license. Oh, you got going 77 in the 70. And I'm like, wow, sir, you pulled me over for that? He said, well, don't say 70 plus. I said, you're right. Correct. I take my lick. Well, you know what, Gary? Why don't you get out the car and come talk to me in my car? Cool. No problem. One thing about me is I'd rather them take me to jail than get in an argument and fuss. We'll talk about it later. You can get me out later. But I say that to segue into a positive response. Like, the guy told me to get in his car. Okay. Got out of the car. You want me to sit in the front or the back? Sit in the front. Sat in the front. He sat there and asked me questions. Where we going? Blah, blah, blah. I told him the truth, everything we was doing. He go talk to Reggie. Reggie, not going to lie, we telling you the truth. This is what we doing. We moving my sister from Colorado. And he went, and he just said, you know what, I'm going to give you a warning. Just slow down a little bit. You know what I mean? It went from there. So my thing is, we can't walk with fear. Even if you see these things happening, it's going to happen. You have to make a stand, but don't be scared, because a scared person sometimes is like, when you're scared, it's the worst thing you can do, and you can sometimes make a mistake or make somebody else. I mean, look at the cop who shot the guy, what was it, Castile in Minnesota?
Yeah.
You hear his voice.
You can tell he was terrified.
Yes.
He was scared.
Yeah.
They tell you never fight a person who's scared of you. Why? You fight for two different reasons. You fight because you're mad. He's scared. He might kill you because he's scared. You know what I mean? And that's my thing, man. It's a scary place to be in America right now. As a person with a voice, as a black person, not even black people, just people of color, minorities, people of poverty, you know, really the strength is in numbers, so we need to get together and do more stuff like this and just, I mean, continue to fight, man.
All right, Gary, man, first I always tell you, man, you know, thank you for your perspective and your insight. We're talking about a 26-year-old brother, so we're talking about not, you know, as they say, not the future. We're talking about our right now. And so you can hear the perspective in his brother's voice, the aerial view, the mindset that he has, even through the things that he's been able to experience, being able to share with the people about where he is. I want to also let the listeners know that right now we're having a few little technical difficulties when it comes to the callers. So right now, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to get your call through because we're having some technical difficulties, but we're going to work on those. And when it's freed up, we definitely let you know. But still, gather your family around, gather your friends around. This is going to be a very, very thought-provoking show. And at the end of it, we're going to give some tools on some action because, you know, one thing I can say, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I believe that marches, those things can make a difference with the right strategy, right? But I also believe that you got to have a balanced approach to it. You got to have a concerted effort to change anything. And here's the reality, my people, here's the reality. You can have, you know, as much money in the world and not have strategy, and it doesn't make a difference. If you don't have the right frame of mind and you got the money, you still miss out, okay? So what I'm saying to you is, I know right now, I know some of us right now, we want to storm the castle, right? We just want to grab the pitchforks and light the torches, and like, we're going to storm the castle. Let's go. Ah, they're going to hear us today. Ah. And I'm going to tell you something. There are times where that's effective. But there's sometimes where that needs to be done in strategy. Then there's sometimes you need to go to the castle, appear that you're weak, walk in as a beggar with your mindset to raise to the top of the palace, learn how the castle works, learn how the walls work, learn the defenses, okay? Get on the inside of that thing, listen to people, learn. Rise to the top. Then let the people know when it's time to storm the castle because you've done your diligence, you've done your research, you know what's what. So understand, to make change in anything, let's talk about human beings. It's hard to change us. You know, listen, if you love peanut butter and jelly, okay, every Wednesday, it's going to be real hard for you to start eating, you know, a bologna and cheese sandwich. Okay, that's just human nature. It is scientifically, our minds are wired for pattern, are wired for systems, it's wired the way. If you look at the way nature goes, that's the way we go. It's the same exact thing. So it takes time to make a change. So the first thing I want to say to my people is the change that you want now is going to have to take strategic action. That don't mean no move now. Oh, no. If you're sitting on your, let me tell you something. If you're sitting on your hands or you're sitting on your do-nothing, this goes for your mind, your mouth, and your movement. If nothing is moving towards making a difference, what are you doing? I got to go with, I was on a call today, and I heard Ms. DeZora. She's like, listen, y'all need to get on your giddy-up. She was serious and passionate, you know, lightning to some of us who haven't been on a call, me, and who needed to take things a little bit more serious. And I appreciate the passion and the love that goes through it, but we got to be able to make a difference. All right, now I wanna pose some challenging thoughts and some challenging questions here. The thing that I want to talk about, and I'm gonna have Gary to speak on it as well, is because here's what I'm hearing from people on the inside of my circle. Hey man, what do I do now? With all the things that are happening, what do I do now? Now I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm a very honest brother. I'm straight to the point. And I'm listening to people say, what do I do now? And my question is, why you ain't done nothing up until now anyway? Why does Facebook and YouTube and social media got to push you to action? Don't act like this is brand new. This is historical. This is something that happens all the time. So tell me, why haven't you done nothing up until this part? So the question ain't, what do I do now? The question is, why haven't you done anything at all? That's the real question. And so even as I hope somebody get a chance to call and listen, y'all can go or listen, go and even respond on some social media or what have you. You know, let's make this a conversation. I'm telling you, what do you do? What people say, what do you do now? My thing is, you late, man. You late. You late. And if you think for one moment that one thing that you can take one incident, one tragedy, and try to make a huge difference just one time, that's not how it works. It takes concerted effort, y'all. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everybody hasn't been doing anything. I'm not going to say that. But you guys, come on now. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. We're talking about the 80-20 now. We know 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And right now, a lot of folks is talking. I'm telling you, stop talking. Get busy. Get involved. An organization like Justice for Zayas, get involved. Positive Male Response, where we are trying to teach and educate young black men on how to respond to authority in a positive manner. Yeah, we know, we get it. Listen, I know you watch some of the stuff and you'll say, well, you know, if they didn't respond this way and if they would have cooperated and they would have respected the badge and they would have, listen, I get that, right? But as a man that grew up in the Johnny Shields Project in East St. Louis, Illinois, who's had guns pulled on him, who's been in situations where you don't have a lot of time to think or respond or react. You just move, especially when you feel like you're in danger and you're not sure. Let's look at the way the world is now. Let me tell you something. I passed by last night in Fayetteville and saw two cops pull over. It was two cops. They were out of the car, white cops pull over a black woman. I slowed down because I was concerned about her. I slowed down and waited on the corner till they got done. Now, here's the deal. Did I have any plans to jump out and attack the police? Of course not. But I was concerned as a citizen for the safety of their sister off of what I've seen. So understand this. A bully, you're only going to allow a bully to be a bully for too long, y'all. And after a while, you're going to have to push back. Now, when I say that, I'm not condoning the craziness that has went on when somebody decided to murder cops. Don't get me wrong. I understand the anger, the frustration, and the whole nine. I don't think that that's the answer. But when you keep pushing people, come on. If you take a cat and push him in a corner, I've seen a cat rip a dog to pieces, a big dog, because he's afraid. Right, the cat is afraid, but guess what the cat made up in mind? I'm going home. That's what the cat decided. I'm going to live, that my life is valuable. I'm going to live to fight another day. So when it comes to the tug of war, it's not, understand this. This is a symptom of actual problems that we have collectively, y'all. Listen, this is stuff that's been there for the longest. But here's my question. Now here's my challenge, folks, Gary. Here's my challenge. Why aren't we owning convenience stores in our community? Why don't we buy land in our community? Why don't we own our own restaurants and then sell Asian food in our restaurants? Why don't we buy our own hair? Why don't we get our own gas stations? Why don't we do that? Here's the deal. You can't tell me we can't do it because in less than 48 hours, last I checked, now I don't know the specific, last I checked, in 48 hours, Austin Sterling, they raised almost $500,000 for his kids to go to college, people who were concerned. So it don't mean our community don't have it. It means where is the guidance? Where's the guidance? So when I say, where do you go from here? To me, you're late. You're late. Gary, what you think about that, bro?
I think
That's funny because I was just having a conversation the other day, Rod, and I was like, you know, a lot of these ball players and rappers and celebrities, man, they could really, like, have their own grocery stores and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, but I guess that's how my mind thinks. But I think that comes from a place, man, in the community where you've been, over the years, held down so long. And so the parents don't have this financial, you know what I mean, mindset, and you know, they can't teach their kids, or they don't, you know what I mean? Because I don't know about y'all, but how many black kids grew up and their parents were like, you put your money here and you do this and you do this and you work this business. It didn't happen a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen more because we have more people getting into better positions and pushing themselves. But you have to, the main thing is educate yourself. See where your money going. Who you spending your money with? What do they do with it when they get it? Because last time I checked, black people generate the most cash in America. Always have.
Like a little country, man.
Yeah.
We got
our own. But we spend it with everybody else.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like a hate your brother complex or something. Like people will go shop at this Asian store, an Asian person to piss them off. You know, this store might have killed two kids 10 years ago because he thought they were stealing anything. But they'll continue to go to this store. But when it's a black store, oh, nah, they ain't doing this right. Or they ain't. Now you judging them instead of seeing the common goal. You know what I mean? We have to keep our money in our community, man. And this ain't nothing new. Martin Luther King was talking about this a long time ago. You see, he's not here. Because they know, oh, this dude can reach the masses. He can have these people really not spending money. I think the NOI, Louis Farrakhan and them, just this past Black Friday, this Christmas and stuff like that, I was telling people they had a Million Man March. Stop spending your money with these people, man. And now I don't, you know, go for everything they represent. I'm not into their, you know, religion or whatever. But I understand where they're coming from, and I love the strategic planning. I love what they do as far as that part of having their own farms and different things like that. And that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to not depending on the government to feed us or, you know what I mean, different things like parents, is first of all, it's kids raising kids. But it's like you're not teaching your kid nothing but how to play video games, or you just sending them in the next room. When, I mean, these kids can learn how to plant stuff. I mean, some of these kids are going to be engineers. They need to be doing this stuff now.
Yes, sir.
They need to know. I tell my niece and nephew, here go $5. And I watch them. I ask them in a couple of days, how much money you got? Oh, I still got the $5. Okay. We go to the store and stuff. They might spend a dollar, but I'm teaching them, like, yo, spend a couple, keep a lot. You know what I mean? Spend less, keep more, because you never know when you're going to need it. And if we teach these kids that while they're young, man, they're going to have enough strength and power to rule the world.
I love what you're saying, man. One of the things I pulled out of what you're saying is awareness and education, man. And understand this, people. If you start educating, if you allow the school system to educate your kid, then your kid is not educated. You're doing your kid a disservice. You need to talk to your kid before they even walk in those doors. Most of the conversation and the influence and the effect is supposed to come from home. And listen, I know this. Understand this. We're not identifying anything that you don't know, right? But we got to be able to understand where the root of things began, right? And so I'm not saying for one moment that what has happened here recently is the result of us not housekeeping. However, there were people standing around watching this. Here's what I know. Now here's the challenge. Woo! It's going to get good right here now. I want to know, how does it feel for the people who live in that area where Austin Sterling was killed, in the area where the brother in Minnesota was killed? How many of us missed the opportunity to run for office, to be in position to be able to make a difference? How many of you guys had an idea to go to the police station and teach sensitivity training? How many of you guys had an idea to be able to implement our own security forces inside of our own community? How many of you guys have had great ideas and you've done nothing? Huh? I'm talking about brilliant people. We are brilliant people. But yet we do nothing.
You know, I think sometimes people don't want to face reality. That's why when it happens again, everybody's like, oh, my God, and shocked and surprised. I'm not. I'm not. What will make them stop? The dudes in Baltimore getting off. If last time I checked, they drag it out, and then they let these people get off. So what will make them stop if we stop? We go back to going to the parties and doing this, and I mean live life, trust me, because you only get one from what I know. Sometimes I think I've been here before, but you only get one from what I know. You know what I'm saying? Live life, of course. But, I mean, let's face reality, man. These people have guns. They have badges. They can hide behind them. But we have to be smart, too. Like brother said, you know, he seen the lady get pulled over. I would have did the same thing. I do stuff like that. You ain't got to ride up on the cops and why you got to pull up. You don't know. She could be on the on America's Most Wanted. But I'm just policing the police because I want peace. So I'm going to sit here and watch.
Yeah.
Because if that, I'm telling you, if that store owner had not came outside and videoed that, and we just had the video from the surveillance, and I didn't watch too many videos because, once again, it brings back too many memories for me. A couple of my friends said, don't watch it, G. But I watched it because I'm like, I mean, it's my reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to run from it. I want to see what happens. Because, I mean, I could be next. You know what I mean? Any of us could be next. It's one traffic stop, one person calling the cops saying you doing whatever.
I'm going to tell you what's crazy. On that note, man, I got pulled over about a month and a half, 2 months ago, in a car with my kids and my wife, and had to have a conversation with my kids after, because they asked me, why did I act the way I acted? How I responded was this. When the lights came on, I pulled over, I cut the car off, I cut the car off, I reached for my license and registration first, put it outside of my vehicle, put it on top of the car, so the police, he can grab it himself, took my hands and put both of my hands, they said on the steering wheel, I put both my hands out the window with my hands up, okay? Both my hands out the window, and my little girls were baffled, like, oh, okay, Daddy, what's, you know, right. And so, and the guy, when he came up, you know, he said, sir, you don't have to do that. I said, sir, I'm going to leave my hands right here. Do I have permission to move them? He said, yes. I said, okay, I'm ready to put my hands on the steering wheel. I took my hands, moved them slow, the steering wheel. I said, my license and registration is on top of the car. He grabbed it off, ran the place, the whole nine, you know, came back, and I was like, okay, you good? And I said, sir, can you put the license and registration back on top of the I didn't even want to touch it.
Yeah, I didn't give it to you.
And when he got back, then I reached back and got my stuff. Once he was in the car, y'all, when he was in the car, I reached out and got my stuff, and then, you know, had to take off. Now, my kids asked, because you got to understand something. I'm my daughter's hero.
Right.
You know, they look right. I'm their Superman. So they're trying to figure out why Superman, to them, acting like Clark Kent, right? But I had to explain to them that the way this world is, babies, I got two daughters. The way this world is, babies, you saw how Daddy just responded? That's how you need to respond when you're pulled over. That's how, if you're in a car with anyone, that's how you need to have them to respond. And one day, when you're somebody's wife, you need to tell your husband, this is how he needs to respond, okay? You're going to have to teach my grandkids how to respond. Now, on a personal level, I'm like, man, whatever, I got to go with G. You know, you got to be smart enough to go home.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about. And again, understand this, this show, I don't think that every cop in the world is dangerous, or I don't think that authority is the enemy. I don't think that it's a black white, you know, war kind of deal or whatever the case is. Now you look at it though, you look at what's going on, the proof is the proof now. That's all I'm saying. So the proof is the proof. But at this point, this show is about how to positively respond when stuff is crazy. Because let me tell you something. I never judge a man how he responds on a mountaintop. I respond, how does that man conduct himself in times where he's in the valley? How does he act when he got muddy feet? Okay, what happens when he's bleeding, there's sweat in his eyes, He hasn't eaten. He's pushing and he's carrying weight on his back and it keeps knocking him down. How does he respond then? It's how I gauge a man. So I say to my people, man, now that you woke, some of y'all said, like I got asked earlier by Ms. Del Zora, you know, one phrase, one sentence that, right? And I said, you know, I'm woke, I'm aware, right? I'm focused. That's what I said. I'm focused. I'm focused because here's the reality. If I sit back, I'm a part of the problem. There's only two sides of where you are on this situation. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. Either you're going to do a bunch of talking and not moving, okay, or you're going to get busy. You're going to get your hands moving. Now, here's the deal. Now I'm big on tools, right? So let's talk about tools on what can you do right now? What can you do right now, all right? Because there's a story I love in the Bible when Moses was getting chased by the children of Israel, and he faced the Red Sea, right? And he turned to God, and he was like, hey, you know, what are we going to do, right? And God like, dude, you know, I'm paraphrasing for all you Bible scholars out there, right? He was like, dude, what use was in your hands. Use was in your hands. Y'all, you ain't got to find nothing spectacular. You just got to ask yourself a couple questions. Tell me when the last time you took your gift and rendered it in service for free in your community. Huh? Oh, not the free word. When is the last time you, as an elder, sat down with people that are 20 years younger than you and you sat down and you talked to them about life and told them stories about how you climbed out of valleys that you thought that you weren't going to be able to when you were younger? Because understand this. This week right here, we can lose the youth, man. We can lose them.
And we have some of the most powerful and
bravest youth. Absolutely.
We have the most powerful and bravest youth.
That's right.
So if we lead them and teach them how to, you know, positively respond.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? Because, bro, I could have had 100 kilos of cocaine on me. I was going to respond the same way to that cop. And that's just me. If I'm going to take my lick. Before we sit here, we'll figure it out later.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I want you to do your job the best way you can.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna do my job by not making you do anything to me. But you know, we have the most powerful youth and they're brave. You know what I'm saying? And right now some of them are scared, of course.
They are.
You know what I mean? Some of them don't have fathers they're seeing fathers murdered, so they're looking at their father like, man. You know what I mean? But like bro said, you use your skills. If you're good at something, teach somebody.
That's right.
If you see stuff going on, teach them. I'm not scared of you. I done been one of my cousins, you know, he live in the neighborhood, and somebody broke in his house a while ago. Just a little quick story. Somebody broke in his house, and, you know, I tell him, I'm like, you stay by Woods. I mean, I grew up, you know what I mean, in these areas. So you stay by Woods, dude. People not breaking the houses. Kids not breaking the houses, putting it in the car, driving off. They're putting it in the woods. They're going to come back to here.
That's right.
You know what I mean? They're brilliant.
That's right.
I mean, somebody taught them that, so why you can't teach them something else?
That's right.
You know what I mean? And at the same, on the same note, I told him, when you see him, don't get your gun and be all, no, come here, bro. Let me talk to you real quick. Look, this was going on. People breaking in people's houses. Let them know.
Right.
It could be the very person you're talking to breaking their house. Let them know. People breaking their houses. They stealing things back here. So I need you to keep an eye out and let them know. You know, they will die if they come in my residence while I'm home.
Right.
You know what I mean? These kids, man, they doing stuff. They're kids. You know what I'm saying? Some of them don't have no guidance. You'll be surprised.
Right.
Sleeping on the floor. I mean, being able to sleep at their friends' houses a weekday and they over there all day. You don't have no guidance. They don't have no guidance. So it's like we have to teach them. I know how to play football. What do? I taught kids how to play football. But as I teach them how to play football, I'm teaching them life. As I talk to my niece and nephews when they get in trouble and stuff, I'm teaching them life. Why I discipline my nephew? Dude, you can't do that you just did in here. Went took the food and didn't tell us. Blah blah blah. When you get in the real world and you live in, you got a roommate, he going to knock your head off, man. It's rules. You know what I mean? You got to respect authority, but we have the bravest youth, man. And if we can get a control of just some of their attention, some of their minds, they're going to make mistakes. I mean, we all make mistakes. You got black on black crime. That's the highest for black people. But guess what? White people kill white people the most. Mexicans kill Mexicans the most. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how it is.
And look, on that note, G, listen, I had the family that's listening. I had the unfortunate, I call it an unfortunate privilege, last Saturday, this same time, I had to eulogize, I had to preach a funeral of a 17-year-old kid who crashed his car in Fayetteville. And this young man, you know, 17-year-old kid, you know, a little wild like we all were, right? And this kid he had an accident, and out of, I think it was six people in the car, he was the only one that died. Okay, 17 years old, life snatched, right? And I had, and I said the unfortunate because I had the chance to stand in front of about 400 or 500 people, 300 of them or so were less than 25 years old. And, you know, he went to Pine Forest High School. And, you know, to piggyback on something that you were saying, one of the things that I told those kids is that they are the most brilliant, they are the most talented, the most gifted, they are the solution that has been sent to this generation to not just make a difference. They are the difference. And I had to remind these kids that they had a purpose here on this earth, and not even in the midst of what was going on. Now, mind you, now this is Saturday. This is before all of the goings on that happened throughout the week. And I told them that they were gifted, they were special. But then I had to reach out to the grown folks. And understand this, y'all. Elders. When I say elders, I don't mean that you got silver hair, okay? I mean elders. I'm talking about in the hood. We're talking to OGs, okay? We're talking about those who have lived and experienced some things. These kids, they need your wisdom. Let me tell you what's going on in history. The baby boomers are starting to not be, soon you guys will not be the greatest population. The next generation that's coming is those that are born between 1980 and 1995. That generation, remember what they called us, Generation X and Generation Y. All right, Generation X, because it was unknown, trying to figure us out, right? And Generation Y was, wow, these kids acting like this, right? Here's the reality. We're going to be the majority soon, and I want you to understand what we are. 1980 to 1995, we are the bridge. We are the bridge between the baby boomers' wisdom and the swiftness, the quickness of the digital and millennial generation. Here's the reality. We need your wisdom to share to these kids. Oh, but you need the youthfulness and the fire in these youngsters. You need it. They got now statistically, I study business a lot, statistically now they are on a rise of people starting businesses that are 50 plus and 25 and below. They're starting to become business partners now because the wisdom is meeting the millennials. Now, here's the thing. Now, why are we talking about this even in regards to this? I'm trying to paint the picture of what we really have going on here. So understand right now who's outraged, who's upset, and the different tactics. You got the kids that are younger. They're on social media. Listen, I want justice. I want it right now. You better tell me how to do it. Let's go. I need to make a difference right now. And if you do something wrong to us, we going to hurt you back. Trust me. Listen to me. These kids ain't scared. These kids are like, we going to hurt you back. But those of us with that wisdom, we got that same type of passion, but we need to give them our minds, y'all. Give them our minds. So
For those of you who are going to rallies, those of you who are going to be a part of the solution, you better go with one thing in mind, to be able to take what's in your hands, Moses, and bless the community with it, bless people with it. So understand this, if you know how to knit, go start a knitting class. If you know how to start a knitting class to get kids in the room with you, if you know how to sew, if you've been through something in life, go to a school and tell a story to somebody. It doesn't kill you to go and tell a story to the kids. Go somewhere and talk. Go to a church. Listen, there are churches that are empty 80% of the time. So you got room and space. So you can't say, well, I ain't got nowhere to do my thing yet. Yes, you do. Call Rem so-and-so. All right? Call Rem, okay, and tell a good Rem, all right, I want to do a class on educating our kids on this, that, and the other. Because if we don't bring awareness to them, then they're going to do some foolish things. And we're going to sit there and watch them. We're going to sit there and watch them. Right? So step one is use what's in your hands. You have no excuse, people. Zero. None. Use what's in your hands to make a difference. Today, social media, YouTube, blog, talk, listen, you got plenty of avenues to reach. Get to reaching, man. Stop talking. Get to reaching. Next thing. Oh, my church folks. Oh, my church folks. First of all, let me say this before I say what I'm getting ready to say. I am a licensed minister. Been one since 2006. I'm a licensed elder, which means I can marry folks, funeralize folks. Okay. I am licensed by the state of North Carolina. Okay. Been in church most of my life. Okay. Understand the world of church and things of that nature. Here's the reality. Churches, it makes no sense for you not to join this conversation. None. If your sermons on Sunday are not talking to our kids about what to do now with this pain, if y'all talking about kumbaya and holding hands and praying only, you're foolish. Let me tell you why. There were some people in South Carolina, they held hands and prayed while a dude walked in there and blasted them away. They was holding hands praying. Now, do I say prayer don't work? Oh, I'm definitely not saying that. But if you praying only, you a fool. You're foolish. You have a responsibility to the very people that you're speaking into their lives, speaking into their souls, asking them for their time, their talent, and resources. You owe it to invest into the current events that's going on right now. You owe it. So guess what? If you're not having this conversation, you are the problem. You are the problem. Trust me when I tell you, me and my pastor, we had a conversation already. I'm getting an opportunity to talk to our kids. I teach Bible study 2 weeks from now they have a youth church. I get a chance to get a captivated audience in about a week from now. Okay? Guess what? I'm going to take what I know, and I'm going to invest into the youth. Now, here's the deal. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be any of that stuff to be able to share what you know. So use what's in your hands right now. And I'm calling out ministries, ministers, church organizations. I don't care if you're the bikers organization. I don't care what you are, the Greeks especially. Yeah, listen, every time it's some type of publicity, you know, it's when the camera's around, folks want to show up and throw up their signs, and folks want to step and all the rest. Listen, this is time you need to step up. You need to step up and combine together. Let me tell you something. This year does not need to be the year. Help me out, Gary. This don't need to be the year that in August is 50 back-to-school jams. If you don't combine to have a conversation together and collectively, then we're still losing. I don't care if it's a Presbyterian church next to a Lutheran church, next to a mosque. Or what. Guess what? It affects us all. It affects us all. And we need to have a conversation about tools and solutions. And that's what your conversation needs to be about. Tools. If you ain't talking about what's in the toolbox, then listen, don't talk to Kelly Payton this week. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Take your pain and turn it into action, man. It's for a reason. The pain that we're experiencing, y'all, there's purpose involved in it. I thought the worst thing ever happened to me in my life was the death of my father. If that death did not happen, it wouldn't have pushed me to even find life. So things happen. But now it's about what you're going to do with it. So use what's in your hand, time, talent, resources. Go to your local churches. Go to your rec centers. go to your organization. Shoot, set up something to sit on a corner. Go ask the corner stores where these brothers are from other countries. Ask them, hey, listen, can I have an opportunity to stand in front of on your parking lot and talk to kids about financial education? Can I bring a dry erase board and talk to these kids about gun safety and gun laws? Huh? We're talking about educating. We're talking about making a difference. We're talking about role playing. Well, we're doing mock role playing, saying, okay, you just got pulled over by a cop that's mad. You got pulled over by a person, not a white cop, a cop. You hear what I said? By a cop that's mad, a person that's frustrated. You get an opportunity to get a chance to role play and give these kids some real world experience. Because here's the deal. A degree ain't enough no more, y'all. Come on, now listen. Go for your education, but a degree ain't enough no more. We got folks with master's degrees, double master's degrees, can't find employment. So we got to equip these kids about purpose and love. And they got to love this generation to the next level, to where it needs to be, y'all. So the positive response is using what's in your hands. Look around in your community and find places to use your gift and start trying to use it now. You are one Facebook post away from letting people know that it's something that you have to add value to the community. That's all you are. And guess what? If you got one or two, so what?
Yep.
So what? Engage with somebody else's one or two and three or four and make a difference, man. Make a difference. What you think, G?
That one person could change the world, man.
I love that.
And could change our, you know, a whole generation's mindset.
I love that.
I mean, so.
So it don't take a group. It don't take a group.
Yeah.
The power of you, it takes one.
And that's the thing, like what you just said, you know, you don't care if it's a Presbyterian church next to the, we're people. It's one. It's really one race. That's
come
humans,
on,
man.
Come on now.
That's humans. I think Malcolm X said he went to Mecca and he saw white people and couldn't believe it.
That's right.
Hold on, they lied to me.
That's right.
These people, and he came back and what? He got with rabbis, Baptists,
right.
All people who wanted change.
I love where you are. I'm going to interject right there. I'm going to tell you something. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's from Turkey. And we were talking about the terrorism stuff that's going on in the world, ISIS and things of that nature. And he said to me, he said, well, to be honest with you, they prey, P-R-E-Y, on those who don't know. He said, these people don't have internet, they don't have TV, they don't have education, they don't have awareness. So they go and they go towards people who they can get into their mind and make them angry and say, you know what, the reason that you're hungry is because of America. The reason of this, that, and the other is because of this, that, and the other. So think about this. If that's all you know, so now you ain't scared to strap no bombs to your chest because you're like, listen, y'all the reason that I'm hurting. Here's the reality. You got to have a global perspective. I love what you said. I've been fortunate enough to be able to, through the military, to do some traveling. I'm from East St. Louis, Illinois, and I'm living in Texas. I live here. I've been in Afghanistan involuntarily. Kuwait, Ireland, Spain. I've had an opportunity to travel to different states. And so I have a global perspective, okay? So because of that, my responses are a little bit different from the average person.
Right.
So let's go back to what we're saying. Okay, we talked about, because I'm big on tools, so we talked about use what you can in your hand,
right?
Utilize your spaces and facilities that's around you. Use your churches, use your organizations, use the spaces to start using your gift now. And then finally, bring awareness. Because understand this, some kids, you might think because of this generation has so much access to the outside world that they know. Oh, don't mistake information, them having access to information, for being able to execute. Don't make that mistake. It's like having a library. You know, a library is full of books and wisdom and knowledge, but if it's not executed, then it's pointless. So we have to understand that our kids have access to this information, but they have to learn how to consistently execute it to make a difference. We got to be able to do that. So you might get some people who come for, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm around here in North Carolina. I met some people who say, man, I ain't never been out of Rayford. I'm like, wow, who live around here who've never been to the beach. They've never even went around a couple of miles, one state over. So their perspective is what it is. But if you bring awareness to our brothers and sisters,
with your global perspective. So I've experienced what I've experienced. You've experienced what you experienced. And now you go in and you're talking to a brother who ain't never been nowhere. And you say, hey, brother, I understand your perspective. I understand you. Your natural response is, they did what? Let's kill them. No, brother, let me tell you how. Let me educate you about how the world works, man. So to be able to give a person a global perspective is very, very important. And what time are we in? 12?
No, we
in
the 12? I think we got, hello? I think we got 90 minutes.
We got 90 minutes, Mom? Or we got
hello?
And I just wanted to call in. First of all, thank you, Kelly and Gary, for doing a tremendous job on this show. Unfortunately, listeners, we had technical difficulties. It was the site. You can call in, but unfortunately, you can't log in. But I do post for you guys that if you have questions, if you post them on my Facebook page, I'll make sure I text you to the guys so they can answer them, or you got statements or whatever. I just want to let you guys know that you're definitely on track, Kelly. I really appreciate what you just said about, you know, going to your churches, going to your work centers, all of these different avenues, and telling them, you know, we need to be able to talk about it. I'm right here now at a work center to pick up my granddaughter at dance school. I'm getting ready to go in here and tell them, look, I need some time this week to talk to these girls. Even though they're girls, they still need to know. And so I appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep going. Listeners, once again, we do apologize, but definitely send you your messages or your questions, and hopefully, you know, they can get this thing restored. I know it won't happen probably today, but we are on here every Saturday. So even if you have to come on next Saturday, or even throughout the week, sometimes when you hear us live, you can still post those questions to Mr. Green and Mr. Payton, and they will surely get them answered for you.
Thank you, Ms. CEO.
That's right. That's right. Look, and even with that, I want to say this. You guys can contact us, right? You can hit me on Kali is Speaking. That's KALIIS Speaking. You can hit me up on Facebook with that. Instagram as well. Just stop by and say hello. Listen, I'm on Snapchat as Kelly is Speaking as well. And so is Gary as well. Gary, give him your Facebook, your social media handles, man.
My Facebook is King of Rest in Peace Zaus, RIPZAUS. Snapchat is iKingGreen. My Instagram is iKingGreen. My Snapchat is ByAnyMeans17.
All right.
We got 90.
Okay, cool. All right. So as we get ready to continue on with the show, first I want to again, you know, take this time to say thank you for an opportunity to even be able to speak with things like this, and make sure you guys hit us up like we said on the social media, because we want to talk to you after, because we know this conversation, you know, 90 minutes, right, it cuts deep, you know, it's something to be able to connect with, but we know it takes more than a few words here on the show to be able to make a difference. You guys might have more questions to pose. I'm really big on a challenging question. If I don't know the answer, I've been taught to find the answer. If it's something I don't know, I don't have any problem saying, like, hey, I don't know. I don't get it, right? And so I wanted to take the time, again, to be thankful for opportunities like this. Understand that this right here is a part of being a part of the solution as well, y'all. It really is. So the questions that you might have, please ask those questions. It might be something that's needed. If you right now we our CEO said, we're having technical difficulties with calling in, but shoot it to us on Facebook Messenger, shoot it to us on our page, and if we don't get a chance to answer it during the show, then we get a chance to answer you guys after. So again, we thank you, and we're grateful, and we don't take it for granted to be before you, and thank you for listening, definitely. All right. And so in the last hour, we hit on quite a few things in the last hour. But I want to pose some questions. I want to know what kind of conversations, man, what conversations are you having when it's just you by yourself?
I'm talking about just you and your mind. Because I mean, you know, we talking about anger, frustration, and the whole nine. You know, what really went through your mind when you thought about what has happened in, you know, specifically now? We're going to address specifically now. Let's talk about Mr. Austin Sterling's situation, all right? Specifically, Mr. Austin Sterling. Now, first, I'm going to give this disclaimer. I'm big on full details before I'm able to make an educated response. So I have not responded even on social media. This is the first time I've spoken even since all the things have happened, because I know there's a lot of other angles that goes along with a lot of different things. Now, let me tell you what it doesn't take away. It don't take away the fact that somebody lost their life. It don't take away the fact that lives were affected. It doesn't take that away. It doesn't take away that somebody doesn't have their father. It doesn't take away that somebody's lost their brother. It doesn't take away that some people who've never seen murder up close before ever in their life, they witnessed this week. It don't take that away, right? But I wanted to take this, I wanted to give that disclaimer, because this is a part now where I want you to reflect. I want you to look inside of yourself. I want you to look inside of yourself, and I want you to find the real emotions, man, the real emotions. Now, this is a part of the show now. I'm going to tell you something now. You know, Mama warned us, she told us to be ourselves, but, you know, told us don't be too crazy on here, right? So Mama, I'm going to tell you, we're going to try for this last 20-some minutes. We're going to try, right? But now we're talking about dealing with the raw emotions of a person, of human beings. Now, so since I'm asking the question, I'm going to be the first to answer. First time I saw it, it pissed me off. First time I looked, the first thing I thought to myself was, even if he was reaching for a gun, six times, man, six times. Now, here's the thing. Remember, I'm a military guy. I know when it comes to training, I know that when you're in the thick of things, on how the adrenaline is pumping and the science is going on. I get it. Pop, pop, maybe. Right? I get one or two. And he stopped moving. But six, though. Six shots, man. I don't care what color the Joker was. Six shots, man. Six shots.
For a gun that was in his pocket.
For a gun that was in his pocket. Now, I know there's a lot of angles and a lot of people you can manipulate video and things of that nature. Here's the way I say, I was not physically there. Neither do I know what happened before the camera started rolling. I don't know if Austin Sterling took his hand and slapped the dude in the face. I don't know if he said, you know, your mama. I don't know if he kicked the tire. I don't know what the heck happened. But all I know is that a man lost his life. And it pissed me off. And all I can think about is, well, dang. What if I got my license on me? What if I go back to the hood to make good? And let's talk about what we talked about today. What if I go and I decide to start teaching these different things about financial education, finding your purpose, and these different tools that I've learned about life? And I go back and I'm standing there now and somebody calls and say, I think I saw this dude with a blah, blah, blah. And they come approach me and all I got is a marker in my daggone hand because I'm writing on a dry erase board. And now two human beings on top of me, man, and who are obviously afraid, and then it happened. So my first emotions was, it pissed me off. It angered me. It frustrated me. Then I went from scared, to, I wish a Joker would try that with me. I'm just being honest, y'all. I'm just being honest. I tell you what, I wish a Joker would with me. That's what went through me. That's what I'm being honest. When I say Joker, I mean what I mean. I mean that go from whoever. Well, okay. Well, you need to listen and follow authority. Yes, we do.
Because this is about positive male response. But right now, we're talking about raw emotion, man, about what went through you. And I instantly began to look at my kids and wonder, man, am I, because I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur. Am I one business deal away from trying to make good for my family and not make it home, regardless of the reason? And it made me realize how mortal I am. And it wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't a good feeling at all. So, Gary, show your raw emotion of how you felt, man, about what you saw, bro.
I heard about it before I seen it. And I'm like you, I like to get facts, so I didn't say too much. But when I seen it, I think before or after, I heard Peter Rosenberg talking to a cop on the radio. And when I seen it, I was just like, okay, so they still doing it. Okay. You know what I mean? Because I've got friends and people I know, you know, and it's like, okay, so we still gotta go through this. It ain't stopped. I figured it didn't stop. We just caught it on camera this time. But I was hurt. I had flashbacks. You know what I mean? And then he gave me like a boost of energy. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, okay, so we still gotta work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is what y'all want to do. So, and I was pissed off, and then I went on the radio, Facebook, and I put, after I heard Peter Rosenberg going off on the cop, because basically what Peter Rosenberg asked the cop who got on the radio station was, hey, man, how do you feel about, you know, you seen this video, do you think that was wrong? And the cop, I mean, this is what kills me with them. They beat around the bush. Oh, he did this, he did that. But they can never just say, you know what, I don't think he should have did that. I think he pushed the envelope a little too far. I think the cop might have went too. They never say that. So that's when I, you know, in my head, I'm like, yo, all these cops are the B word. And I got family members who cops, people I know who cops. But if you can't say what's wrong is wrong and what's right is right, then that's how I feel about you. I don't have no respect for you. You know what I mean? Because you are the problem. You are letting these guys kill people and then walk back in like, hey, this is what it is. So I was hurt, but then I got a boost of energy. You know what I mean? And it started making me look at more things. And that's when I was telling people, you know, it never really stopped. People didn't catch it on video. So, I mean.
Now, that boost of energy, Gary, did that boost of energy make you hate or love?
It was more like, it was like an adrenaline rush. And it made me hate the system. Because it's like when you look at the system, it's not built on being fair. It's corrupted. You know what I mean? And granted, it's still humans working in the system, so it's always going to be corrupted. But it made me hate the system, but more so want to love my people. You know what I mean? And tell them, look, talk to my friends. And I saw somebody, I think it was another radio person, like, tell your family you love them, this and that. But I do that every day.
Right.
My friends, dudes, what's up, bro? Love you. Love you too, G. That's how I got these dudes' minds thinking, bless up.
Right.
Every day. That's what I tell them, bless up. Let's get it. You know what I'm saying? My partners, we call ourselves kings. We royal. We loyal, royal, we blessed. Uneasy is the head. So I already knew, being black in America, calling myself a king, how I feel, how I approach things, how I walk with respect, never going to be easy. It was never made to be easy. But it made me hate the system, but love my people. And then it also, that energy made me want, you know, okay, my nieces, nephews, kids I know, stuff like that, we got to educate them. We got to prepare them now because I might not be here tomorrow.
Let me stop you right there. I love the energy. I want you to hear what he said, y'all. I want you to hear what he said. So let's pull out what he said now. He said at the end of it, it made him hate the system, but love his people, his family, even more, to the point where it moved him to action. Now, again, I hate tragedies, right? But I'm telling you, I see people respond once adversity hits them, right? So, look, I tell people often, people like to, I'm a businessman, so, you know, sometimes people like to walk up and introduce themselves with a whole, I'm the president, CEO. They give me their whole resume, right? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm Kelly. How you doing? Even with that, I've had guys to do that, and then I had a young lady ask me a while back. She was like, what college did you go to? I said, oh, I graduated from the University of Adversity. she was about to say, what? I said, well, you about to ask me what was in that? So I'm like, the University of Adversity, man, because here's the deal, man. Pain gives you gifts, man. And it gives you the gift of love. Without these tragedies, without this week worth of stuff that's happening, this fire of action that I feel right now, I don't know if I would have felt it without it. Doing the eulogizing a 17-year-old young man last week, the same time frame. Now, mind you, through that action, talking about how tragedy makes a difference, y'all, over 50 people gave their life to Christ at the funeral. 50 kids, 25 and below, right? So you got to look at these different adversities and pull the love, like you said, out of it. And if I hadn't experienced some of the things that I experienced and you hadn't experienced some things you experienced, we wouldn't be able to even share this love that you guys are hearing on this radio right now. Now, we're talking about real raw emotions, right? And so we got another one of our awesome members here of the organization, the Justice for Zayas, A to Zayas. And remember, this is about positive male response, but we getting ready to have an awesome female here with us, Miss Shantique
Randolph.
She's getting ready to speak to us here. And I just want her to give her real, raw emotions as well on how she felt. Specifically, we're talking right now about Austin Sterling. Go ahead and speak. Introduce yourself and then speak, my sister.
Hi, I'm Shantique Randolph, member of Justice A to Zayas. And my raw emotions, honestly, like I said, I was asked before my emotions, and I was confused. And I say confused is because when you see the video, you don't know if you want to cry, get mad, walk out the door, or sit down and talk about it so you know what to do next. It's because it's happening so often, it has your emotions unsettled. Your emotions can never be settled, because there's nothing that's happening to settle them. It's a continual eviction, continual. And when you see other, I was on Facebook more within the past few days than I had been in probably years, honestly, just because you want to view other people's, you want to see what other people have to say, you want to see where they're at, and you want to see what you can do. Because, of course, it's in another state, so you have to do what you can in your own state. But you've seen where the mindset of people all over the country. And we're all tired. And it's like, okay, you don't want us to do this. Well, what do you want us to do? Well, what do you want us to do? If you don't want us to carry our guns with a license, then what do you want us to do? You don't want us to abide by your rules. You don't want us to put our hands up. What do you want us to do? Are we supposed to just stay at home, not order everything in? You don't have to see us. You don't have to be involved with us. How will that make you feel better, make you feel more comfortable? That's not your job. That's not your job to make. We're supposed to be comfortable. We're not supposed to make you feel comfortable. You're supposed to make us feel comfortable. What did you say? Police is a peace officer?
Mm-hmm.
Peace officer. And their job is to create peace in the community. And honestly, I can say police only cause controversy, chaos, and amongst a bunch of other negative things in the community. When you see people, other cops coming out talking about, oh, yeah, that's what they tell us to do. Excuse me? It doesn't surprise me, but the fact that you're saying it, yes, indeed, really. So now you're bold enough to hide behind the badge. You're bold enough to wave your badge in front of the camera that's recording you. You're bold enough to scream your quote, to clear your consequences. What do they have? Those code words. Police officers have those code words that, like when he yelled gun, I thought they already knew he had one.
That's what they were calling it for.
So what did you yell gun for 10 minutes later? I was confused. What did you come up there for? I could have did that. So I'm going, and how I felt it is, I'm going to protect myself. I'm not calling this. Anything that happens, I'm not calling the police. Because yesterday I said in the conversation, I said, if something happens and I need to call the police, I don't know if that situation will turn out into me being dead when I needed their help to alleviate or to defuse something else that was going on. I don't know that anymore. And that's not a safe feeling or a comfortable feeling to have. And because we're not comfortable, we're all irate. And you cannot say, you cannot have irate people abide by rules because you're not giving them anything to be comfortable with.
Wow. I your perspective, if you guys are in the room with where we are, you will be able to feel the deep emotion off of this sister. She is literally shaking while she's talking about this. And these are the kind of things that that shake us to our core. So I think you got one more thing to say.
And see, I'm a parent. I have two children. What do you tell your children? How do you explain this to them? First off, at a certain age, they don't even know what murder and death, and you tell them cops is this, cops are that. You want to be a cop? That's good. How are we able to teach our children and to tell our children what to do now? I'm scared for them. I don't even know what to say because I don't know what to tell myself.
Wow.
CEO just called in. She wanted to speak on that.
Okay. All right. We got our CEO just called in. I want to speak and bless us. Yes, ma'am. Ms. CEO.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We're waiting.
Okay, I couldn't hear you guys, but good morning again. Hold on. Come here. My granddaughter has something she wanted to say, and then I'm going to say what I needed when I called her when I was wanting to say. But she was walking. Picking her up, and she said, what you doing? I said, I'm listening to Uncle Gary on our radio show. And I said, we're talking about the police, how they're killing people. And so, the liars, what you had to say about that?
Oh, the liars, police killed my uncle.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? What you told me?
Because they did it for no reason.
And how you feel about it when we was walking? What you say? You feel what? So, thank you. You heard it from a 5-year-old who is confused about why the police killed her uncle, and she's sad about it. And guys, when I tell you, this little girl is not just saying that. There are times where she's talking to him as if he was there, trying to get understanding of why he was murdered, okay? And here's the thing, Callie, you spoke on a lot of things from a perspective as a Christian man, as a minister, and I'm the parent of Zayas, who was murdered. If you're listening, most of you know who I am, and if you don't, now you do. The first 2 years, I really, really tried to lean on God, and I'm still leaning on him. He's the reason I got through, but I tried to be a comfort in a rock for others, my children, my family, other people. And I said this morning on our meeting how this year and seeing so many other men just continually being murdered at the hands of the law enforcement officers who are supposed to protect and serve and keep peace in our community drew me to almost a fit of rage. And so one of the things after this morning, I prayed and I began to think and talk to the Lord. I realized that God is telling us also, and I've put this out there, some of you may have seen it, as Christian people, we really got to stop with some of the mess we're doing. Now, that doesn't give
give them the reason, but I'm going to bring clarity to you what it does give us. When we as Christians put more effort into following God's will and keeping his commands instead of just dealing with our selfish and our fleshly desires, then God can speak and use us and empower us more to defeat this enemy, to defeat this tragedy that's happening. And I say that because yesterday I was around some people, and I'm thinking about their behavior, even at that time, you know, in the setting that I was in, not the rally, in another setting. And some of their behaviors were behaviors that God is telling us to stay away from, that we shouldn't do. And here's the thing. As Christians, we do them stuff on purpose. It's not that we can't stop doing them. We're doing them because we feed our flesh. And it feels good. It's healthy. We think it's cool. God is looking for a people to sacrifice and deny your flesh and stand up and do what he wants you to do. I am one who he has been shaving and shaving and shaving me. And so even in my rage and anger, I have to turn around. I told my member I feel like a psychotic woman. Because on one end, I want to kill somebody. But on the other end, I know that's not right. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if it was Paul or one of them boys back in the day who said, when I want to do right, evil is always present. But it is, even though it's present, God, the Holy Spirit is present in you and you can do something about it. So if we really, really want to make an impact, starts with some change in us so that we can get real clarity, so that we can put on the full armor of God and he can lead us as he did in the Bible when he prepared them and said, get ready. Now I want you to march here. And then when they march there with their weapons and everything on, no weapon, guess what? They didn't even have to do nothing. Straighten, stand there. He did all the work. But he needs you still to get prepared, to cleanse your temple. They begin to pray. They begin to fast. They begin to let some sin go. Christians, no matter what color you are, you see, just my people. You don't know the rest. If you call by his name, if you begin to turn from your wicked ways, if you begin to release all that and look for him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to hear from heaven, he's going to heal. But the thing is, we won't let go of our flesh. So when we talk about the Christian body, I'm talking about the ones who accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and you say you're walking with him. You go to church on Sunday, you praise him. On Monday, you're at work talking about money, it's the Lord. I'm talking about us Christians. I wish I knew how he fall. I'm talking about us good old Christian folk. See, we can win this battle, but you have to die to your flesh. All that stuff we be doing, that the Bible tells us not, we're not doing it because we can't control it. We're doing it because we like it. And then you want God to come and do something for us. You're looking for a people who's going to deny themselves and follow his will.
Thank you.
Wow. Miss our CEO sharing her heart with us all. And again, you know, it takes wisdom to be able to make a huge difference. So as we get ready to wrap up this show, thank you so much for calling in and blessing us with your presence, Miss CEO. And I want to say thank you again for another opportunity to be able to bless people on your platform that you created. To be able to make a difference. And so in the last 90 seconds, I'm going to say this, y'all. The tragedies that's happening, they hurt us all. But I'm telling you, light will come out on the other end of this. Use what's in your hands. Make a difference now. Use your community to share the love of the wisdom that you have walked through. These kids need you. They need perspective. They need understanding. And you are the one to be able to bless us with it. You are created for a purpose to serve with your gifts, your talents, and your abilities to be able to bless this generation with what God has placed inside of you. Use it with all your heart. Do not stand by idly anymore. And allow these things to go on. Stand up and stand up now. We need you, and we need you now. Thank you for listening. On behalf of myself, Justice Fazeas, our CEO, Ms. Desor Barnett, our guest here, Mr. Gary Green, and also Ms. Shantique Randall, thank you guys for listening. God bless you. Go out and make a difference, and make a difference today.
Bless up.
All right.
Yep.